Shortly after the start of the 2020 pandemic, Utah Foundation released a report called Work Away From Work, The Challenges and Promise of Teleworking. It provided an overview of the potential benefits and pitfalls of the massive experiment in teleworking prompted by the pandemic. In January 2021, Utah Foundation released a follow-up report called The Way Home, The Shift to Telework and Its Air Quality Ramifications. The report focuses on how remote work relates to future growth, traffic, and air quality in Utah. It provides new insights gained during 2020 and looks toward the future interplay of telework and air quality. Special thanks to the Utah Clean Air Partnership, or UCARE, for supporting both reports. In this podcast, Utah Foundation Vice President Sean Tigan and I discuss what we learned in these reports and the far-reaching implications for Utah. This is Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Peter Reichard. So, Sean, we've now released our second report on telework, and the interesting thing is that this report was a priority of Utah Foundation going back to 2019.
Yeah, so the Board of Trustees voted to have us look into this issue of telework, and we talked to UCARE, the Utah Clean Air Partnership, and sought some assistance from them in terms of financial assistance to really put a report together looking at telework and air quality. This was before the big economic shutdown and the pandemic, which kind of forced a lot of us into telework. But for that first report, we decided we needed to get something out. And we released a report in April to really help employers kind of understand some of the ramifications of working remotely and to help out employees as well. And then this second report that we just released in January of 2021 focuses on that original idea of how telework relates to air quality.
Now let's talk about that first report quickly, which was released in April. What were the insights that we shared with Utah employers at that time in terms of potential benefits and pitfalls of telework?
There are some organizations and some people that have concerns around working remotely. In fact, in previous years, you saw some large companies really focusing on remote work policies, but then kind of drew back from those because of some things maybe related to collaboration and teamwork and creativity and whatnot. There are possibly some benefits to telework related to productivity. This has been one of the things that's been studied for a while, that employees find that they may be more productive if they get, you know, 2, 3, 4 days a week working outside of the office, working in their own maybe home offices or elsewhere.
And that seems to be the sweet spot, right? To have a mix of both at home and in the office.
That was the idea kind of coming into this pandemic, that about half time working remotely was kind of the sweet spot. We also found that, you know, there are great benefits for employees. And one of those is a work-life balance potentially and saving in terms of time on the commute, but also just saving money on the commute and saving money on, you know, going out to lunch. There's a pretty significant cost savings to employees of working at home.
From the employer standpoint, the heightened productivity is an exciting thing to see. Obviously, that's not going to apply to all employees in all types of workplaces. It seems that from the employer's standpoint, the shift really has to become more of a focus on productivity when you move to telework, because you're no longer managing to make sure people show up for work. You're managing to make sure that they produce something during the course of the day.
That's one important aspect of this. The state of Utah implemented a pilot program a couple of years ago to start looking into teleworking. And they've actually found that there's more of a benefit than they ever thought they were going to see. And one big benefit is that they've moved departments and divisions to kind of this teleworking framework so that they're working in a paperless office now. Certainly into the future, they're going to be able to kind of work in smaller area workstations as opposed to having this big desk with a bunch of paper all over the place and a big old printer down the hall.
Let's move on to the new report and get a picture of Utah. How much, when we talk about the commute that isn't happening so much anymore because of telework, how much of the traveling on the road does commuting really account for?
You can say roughly somewhere around about 30%. If we're working remotely, one, two, three, four, all days a week, we can see that person not driving to work saves about, you know, roughly a third of their overall driving.
And in Utah, how much of a shift have we seen in telework? I mean, we've seen a bigger shift than other mountain states, haven't we?
You know, there's this really cool data set from the Census Bureau that looked at all of these effects of the pandemic on workers across the U.S. And if you compare Utah to mountain states, we saw a bigger increase in that than all of our neighboring states in Montana.
And more than half of our households have seen at least one person move toward remote work here in Utah. Why might it be that we would see a bigger shift to telework than some of our neighboring states, say Nevada?
We are a slightly younger population, and that may have, you know, some effects on who is working remotely and who is not. But one of the big effects is probably it has to do with our industry mix. So if you look at the Hockman Index, you can see that Utah looks very much like the nation in terms of its kind of industries, where its workforce is working. If you look at, let's say, Nevada may have a lot more hospitality. They may be influenced a lot more by hospitality. And so you can't really work remotely from a lot of hospitality jobs. And if you look at some older states, people with older populations, you might see that those older states have more emphasis on hospitals and maybe have more nursing homes and maybe have more assisted living facilities. And so you have a greater percentage of the population that just needs to be there for certain types of industries. And we, it just so happens, we are able in Utah to see a lot of our folks go and be able to work remotely.
Teleworking certainly would bring down the number of cars on the road during rush hour times. But there are some things that maybe mitigate the reduction in traffic.
Downtown Salt Lake City looks like a weekend any given day of the week. I mean, it's pretty amazing to see just how empty it is. And there are some estimates that put maybe only about a third of employees back working downtown in Salt Lake nearly a year after the initial kind of economic and pandemic shutdown. But if you go look out on the freeways, you're like, what the heck? I mean, people are still on these roads. In fact, UDOT shows that 90 to 91% of traffic has returned. So what the heck is going on? Like, what is it that put all those people back on the road, even during a rush hour when there aren't as many people working downtown? You know, part of that is this idea that if you free up some area on the road, we're going to fill it back up with people taking other trips. But you also have, unfortunately, fewer people taking the transit.
Back in March, April, at the height of the lockdown, we did see very significant improvements year over year, improvements in terms of air quality. Why do you think that would have been the case at that time? And maybe why wouldn't that level of improvement endure over time?
We've been having some ridiculously good air quality even before the pandemic. So we saw, you know, some really incredibly good air quality in late 2019 and even in early 2020. But then we saw further reductions in some of the emissions from vehicles If you look at mid-March to mid-April, we saw some incredible reductions in pollutants, mainly coming from cars, and then we saw some improvements over the previous, like, 10-year, that month period over the previous 10 years. And part of that is because, you know, we weren't going to jazz games, and we weren't going to dinner, and we weren't, you know, we weren't flying on airplanes, and we weren't doing any of this kind of stuff that maybe we'd been doing just a few weeks before. So we certainly saw an improvement there. We won't see that going forward because, you know, we're getting back into some of the activities that we saw before the pandemic. That said, you know, if you get people out of their from going into their car and getting into rush hour traffic with the rest of the folks going to their jobs, you can see some benefits. There is a benefit to having fewer cars on the road. And, you know, one of the big benefits is a potential long-term benefit of saying, you know, the fewer cars we have on the road during this rush hour period, you know, that kind of gives us a little bit of breathing room in terms of longer-term growth, in terms of getting more people living in Salt Lake County and Utah County and beyond, and really allowing us to utilize what we have as our transportation system to the fullest extent.
One other thing that occurs to me as you were talking is potentially, as we've documented in past reports, the impact of truck traffic, that one truck, heavy-duty truck, unless it's a super clean vehicle, is probably going to be polluting a lot more than many multiple passenger vehicles. And once the economy got rolling again, those trucks pretty well returned in full force. And telework really has little effect on that. Now, let's put telework in the perspective of other strategies that one might use to try to reduce traffic, increase capacity, and improve air quality. When we look at the major shift to telework and the fact that some portion of that is likely to stay, it seems like a pretty significant play in the grand scheme of things, when you think about, well, how many people can we get commuting by foot or by bike, or how many people can we get commuting on mass transit compared to now all these people that suddenly are expecting to be able to telework and probably in a lot of cases will demand it as a term of employment as we move forward.
And you compare that to, like, what if we need to add a new lane onto the highway, the freeway system, in order to get people to these kind of big centers of work? I mean, the great thing about telework is that it's cheap compared to all those things. It basically costs very little, or at this point, nothing, because we've already learned to figure out kind of how to telework. We've already, in that grand experiment that was forced upon us back in March of 2020, a lot of us are becoming kind of experts in this telework, and we've smoothed out some of the initial wrinkles, and we figure out maybe how to make this effective. I know, like, in our office, I think we're probably more effective in much of our communication than we were back in, you know, February of 2020. This February, we figured out, I think, a way to really make this telecommuting thing into an effective kind of productive, creative kind of strategy that we can use going forward. But at the end of the day, it's a cheap way of approaching things. If you wanted to get this many people that we had teleworking back in March, April, May of 2020 into a bus or onto a Trax train, we'd have to buy an innumerable number of additional buses and Trax trains, and that's an enormous amount of money. So, you know, this is one way we can do it. It's very low cost, and that I see as a really big benefit.
We should mention here that when you talk about doing pedestrian infrastructure investments and mass transit investments that then spur transit-oriented development, or that then spur greater dynamism in a live, work, play kind of environment, there do seem to be some placemaking benefits that you would get with some of those other types of investments that you wouldn't really get with telework, or would you? Or does it remain to be seen?
Yeah, No, yeah, it's hard to say. I think you do get some great benefits from some of that placemaking. And, you know, some people don't have cars and don't drive. And you know, that's, probably a necessary component, having these kind of active transportation and public transportation amenities. I think it's an important thing and creates, really helps in terms of placemaking. There's something interesting with remote working though, and this idea of telework kind of opens up some opportunities, particularly for maybe more rural areas or areas further afield that, you know, maybe you couldn't live in. Maybe I grew up in Helper, Utah, or I grew up in Springfield, Utah, and now I'm able to move back there because I'm teleworking full time, and I can move to some of these places that in the past wouldn't have made sense to me. And you know, and if you look farther away from the Wasatch Front, that could be a benefit to some communities, particularly those that are experiencing some net loss in residents and have been experiencing that for decades.
But now one of the things that we did find in our report was that some employees see telework as a means of not just getting to some rural area, but just in general getting to more affordable housing in less dense areas. While on the one hand, it can help to alleviate housing pressures and affordable housing issues, it may also spin off sprawl at the urban suburban fringe.
Yeah, I mean, that could be an issue. Like if you get folks moving, maybe their commute used to be 15 minutes, but now they figure, well, I only have to go to work, you know, maybe 2 days a week, I'll move 45 minutes or an hour away, and then it'll just be my, you know, my commute will be maybe a couple days a week. The issue is that not only sprawl, but that you have then people living farther and farther away from any of the amenities. So if they want to then go to a jazz game on a Saturday night, for instance, they're driving a long way to get there, and they may be driving a lot farther to get to the dentist and driving a lot farther, sure, even just to get groceries. So there are some negative ramifications, and maybe some of those other amenity drives kind of overshadow what was originally a shorter commute.
So now, as we record this, we are in the midst of the 2021 Utah Clear the Air Challenge. So the challenge focuses on getting people out of single occupant vehicle trips into carpooling, using mass transit, using active transportation, trip chaining, avoiding unnecessary trips, and yes, teleworking. It's a 1 month event. It's in February. It seems now that we have the capacity on a large scale across our employer base, public and private sector, to encourage telework, that suddenly now we have this new tool in the belt for various times of the year when there are air quality issues to pull that tool out and put it to work.
You know, I personally see this as one of the potentially largest kind of benefits in terms of air quality when thinking about remote work. That tool has been in the tool belt before, but employers may not have been comfortable with it. Employees may not have been comfortable asking for it. And now, you know, after we've been experiencing this huge experiment in a remote work, it's going to be much easier to pull off. And I can see that when you see the meteorological conditions kind of ramping up for an inversion in the winter, or when you see a kind of a hot air front coming into Utah in the summer, focusing on getting people working at home during those periods could have a huge effect in terms of benefits to air quality. I mean, we could put a lot fewer particles in that inversion air soup, and we could put a lot less ozone into the air from our tailpipes on those 100 degree days if we can get people staying at home. Or if you were teleworking in the past 2 days a week, maybe for these 2 weeks we telework 5 days a week. Or if you typically don't telework at all, maybe you telework half time. Even if you don't like it and your boss maybe doesn't feel 100% good about it, you know, maybe this is an option that we try it out a little bit during these periods and we all kind of suck it up and, you know, keep some of those pollutants out of the air.
Well, Sean, there's so much more that we could say. This is an interesting report. Again, the report is The Way Home, The Shift to Telework and Its Air Quality Ramifications. And our listeners can explore all the rest of the interesting findings on our website, utahfoundation.org. Thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Peter.
This has been Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. Follow our work at utahfoundation.org.